Well, good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There is absolutely no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all worshiping his name and bringing glory and honor to it. Thank you for deciding to spend your Sunday morning here doing just that. Listen, this is a continuation of the last 2 weeks in our Crushed series. And today is a serious Sunday because I have some important news that I need to communicate with you all and also bring you in on. And I think there's some important news that you all need to hear about yourselves that you might not even have known. Are you guys all prepared? And you're like, oh man, I've picked this Sunday to come to church. Okay. So, I've experienced this so many times in my life that when I've come to you all and told you something, you've all reacted in such a loving, caring, compassionate way that it's actually pushed me and Rachel and my family to being in awe of God. And if I come to you and I say that something's going on, you guys pray for me and Rachel and our family in such awe-inspiring ways. So I know that when I communicate this, you would react the same way. So I have a heart condition. As a matter of fact, I've had a heart condition for years and years and years and years and years and years. And you're like, oh, Pastor Nick, what can we do? You can recognize that you all have a heart condition too. What? I didn't know that. I had no idea. And you're like, oh, well, I just had a whole bunch of salt on my eggs this morning and put some hot sauce on them, and I had extra butter on my toast. And now all of you are like, I didn't have that for breakfast, but I'm going to have it for brunch when I leave here. I'm not talking about a physical heart condition. I'm talking about a spiritual one. Every single one of us were born with a genetic heart condition. But every single one of us have a plan that God's given us to be able to change it. And no, we're not going to go get stents put in our heart spiritually. No, we're not going to go have, you know, heart surgery physically. We're going to have a spiritual one. And each one of us can be defined as a man or a woman after God's own heart, just like the man we're going to talk about today was, David. And you're like, oh, I'm so thankful Pastor Nick doesn't have a real heart condition. No, I do have a real one. You have a real one. We all have real heart conditions. And I want you to leave here today walking out and be like, hey, guess what? I have a heart condition. And somebody's going to walk, oh, you do? Yeah. But I'm working on it. And people are like, how? I'm getting closer to God. And everybody's like, you're weirder than I thought. And you're like, yeah, I really am. Come join me. And invite them. There's some empty seats. Let's pray. And then we're going to jump into our message today. Father God, I thank you so much for changing perspectives today, for helping to each and every one of us to see a little bit differently. God, giving us your eyes. Help us to see everything around us the way that you see. Help us to inspect our hearts so that we could become closer to you. Help us today, Lord. Help us to be able to change what we need to change so that we can be defined as men and women after your own heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you had a physical heart condition, you would change what you needed to change. You would stop putting salt on your food that you needed to put. You would do what you needed to do. If I told you you had a physical heart condition, you'd stop eating French fries. You'd start eating what?
Broccoli.
No, you'd jump to the opposite side. You'd start eating sweet potato fries. Right? You'd stop eating ribeyes and start eating fish. Right? Or turkey burgers instead of real burgers. Right? You'd stop eating chicken thighs and start eating chicken breasts. Like you've been around the block. You'd start eating oatmeal every once in a while. And you're like, I don't like oatmeal. Suck it up. You would change. And there would be people around you that would force you to do it. How do I know this? I've had family members that have had numerous heart surgeries. Numerous. And I've had family members that didn't change. And I've had family members that did. Perfect example. My wife's grandfather, Pappy, my Pappy, he changed. Now, he loved salt. And he would sneak it. But he lived a long, 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 long life because he changed things. My grandmother had a heart condition, physical one. She did not change. And every time she ate Chinese food, she had a heart attack. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. We didn't figure this out until the second time. And she had general sows, and she ended up at AGH. I'm being serious with you. Spiritually, you know what you need to change. And I'm going to tell you today, we're going to change it. And there are people in your life that are going to point it out for you if you allow them to. You're at a spiritual doctor's appointment today. And you're like, I didn't want to come. And I'm definitely not going to give the copay. If you want to give the copay, the kiosk is right over here to the left. The ways to give are already on the screen. But listen, we've been reading every single week when we launched out of 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. And today we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to pull a different statement than we have. We now have this light. Somebody just texted me and said, why are you always recommending General Tso's? I order Szechuan beef, I'm just saying. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars of clay. This great treasure. This makes it great, and it makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by our troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Listen, there are times in life that you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down by things that you may even have done. The question is, how are you going to get back up? And how are you going to respond to the action? How are you going to deal with the issue of your heart? How are you going to respond to what knocked you down? Are you going to admit that you have a heart issue? Are you going to recognize that you might have gotten knocked off of the path and who you were created to be? How many of you have heard of the American Heart Association? Yeah? Okay. You're all laughing, right? A few years back, Pastor Rick was walking up to Giant Eagle, and there was a big cookout happening. And he's like, that smells great, hamburgers, hot dogs. And he walks up, and it was a fundraiser for the American Heart Association, and they were selling hamburgers and hot dogs. They definitely weren't. And he was like, isn't this a little counterproductive? And they're like, listen, we got to do what we got to do. We can't forget who we are and what we're created to do. And we're going to talk about a man today that by the world's standards shouldn't have been in the positions that he was placed in. By the world's standards and by the outward appearances of his life, he shouldn't have became who he became. David became a king. David became a man after God's own heart. David didn't look like a king from outward appearances. But Samuel anointed him as one. He was just a young, lowly shepherd boy. And in that time and in that culture, shepherds were the lowest of the low. No worldly esteem, no credentials, no importance. David didn't have outward attributes of a king. He was the youngest of the family. He was a musician, songwriter. He wasn't a soldier. Just a little shepherd boy. That was his outward appearance. Let me tell you what God saw. God saw a young man and a man that spent years alone in the fields with just his sheep and God. In God's presence. God saw a man that was content to be in his presence. Content to be at the feet of his Lord. God saw his character. A character that was being honed. Gifts that were being honed, talents that were being honed. He didn't waste time while he was just waiting and working as a shepherd. He became proficient in the things that he was being called to. Listen, God taught him the skills of patience and conquering fear and seeking him first and listening to his voice. He taught him what loyalty looked like. He taught him what humility looked like. He taught him what kindness and faith looked like. It was all documented in Psalms that David wrote. David was a man of submission and excellence. But David was also a man with a heart issue. So what happens when you get knocked down because of something that you've done? Not necessarily because of something that was done to you, but because of something that you've done. Something that you did. What happens? What do you do? David, a man after God's own heart. Acts 13:22. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do anything I want him to do. So how do we deal with this heart issue? How do we have a heart just like David? How do we walk out having a heart after God's own heart? How do we become like David and react like he reacted when he gets knocked down and got knocked down? First and foremost, we have to guard our heart. We have to protect it. There's so many things that are coming against our heart day in and day out. If I told you you had a physical heart condition, you would do what we talked about earlier. You'd eat sweet potato fries. You would eat broccoli even if you didn't like it. You would start to find out how to cook a turkey burger because it is a gift. You can mess a turkey burger up real quick. They're not forgiving. They're not. There's not any fat in those that are going to forgive you if you overcook them. You need a thermometer. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Whatever you put in is going to come out one way or another. Whatever you put in affects every area of your life. And that is not just physically, that's spiritually, that's emotionally. Everything affects your heart. Guard it, protect it. Encourage it, empower it, strengthen it. Get others that are going to empower it, strengthen it, and help your heart. We all have a heart issue. So how do we guard it? How do we protect it? How do we strengthen it? Stay humble. Stay forgiving. You carry unforgiveness around, guess what? Your heart's going to be very, very, very clogged. It's going to need some stints. Those little balloons they put in. Stay faithful. Overflowing with faith. In every area of your life, with your time, with your talent, with your treasure. David modeled this. Now listen, we're going to walk through a story about David. And you're going to think, after this, I did not know, some of you are going to, I did not know this was in the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible more. This may cause you to fall in love with the Bible. This is better than any movie you could watch. It's better than any Lifetime movie. I'm serious. Here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. In the spring of the year. What time of year?
Spring.
That's my favorite time, I think. No, I think fall is. That's definitely winter. Now, summer's pretty good. I like them all. When kings normally go out to war, remember that. When kings normally go out to war, okay? I want you to remember that statement. When kings normally go out to war. David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Huh. David stayed behind. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest. So David should have been where kings would normally be at battle with the rest of the guys. But he decided to hang back. Let's pause for a second. Now, November 3rd, we're going to have a men's night here at the White Oak campus. Some of you guys should be here. As a matter of fact, all of you guys should be here on November 3rd at 5 p.m. But some of you are going to decide to hang back because you're going to need a nappy. Because you're seepy. Let that sink in. Let's go back to the text. Late one afternoon, after his midday seep, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of his palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. Then David sent messengers to go get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, "I'm pregnant." This is like a Maury episode. I'm pregnant and you're the father. So, David should have been at war, but he wasn't. When you're not in places that you should be, stuff that shouldn't happen happens. When you're not where you should be, stuff that shouldn't happen happens. Now, I find the Bible extremely interesting. David's out on the roof of his palace, and he sees a woman taking a bath, and her name's Bathsheba. You can't make this stuff up. It's just the way my brain works. That's interesting, okay? Now, he sins, but what does he do? We're not going to be able to read all of chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. I want you to go read it, but I'm going to help you understand the rest of the story. The story continues. David then decides that he's going to hide his sin. He's going to cover it up because he's ashamed. Usually, this is what we do. We hide our sin. We cover it up because we're ashamed. We don't want people to know that we weren't where we were supposed to be and we did something we weren't supposed to do, because sin takes us farther than we ever thought we were going to go, and it keeps us longer than we ever desired to stay. So what does he do? He calls Bathsheba's husband, who's where he's supposed to be, at war with his men, and brings him home. "Hey, Uriah, come on back." And David decides that he's going to make it seem like he's rewarding Uriah. "I think you should come back and take a night. Get some rest. As a matter of fact, go on over to your house. Spend the night with your wife. Do what you should do. Get some rest." But Uriah's not that type of guy. Uriah was a man that didn't allow for his character to falter. Uriah was a man of valor. Uriah was a man that didn't want to stray away from where he was supposed to be. Uriah knew that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. So what did he do? He wouldn't even sleep in his house. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't even sleep in a house. He slept outside. So what's David do? Oh, now I got to cover it up further. He kills him. He kills a man. You're like, this stuff's in the Bible? Yeah. This is better than any story you could watch. Netflix has nothing on 2 Samuel. He covers it up further. He kills this man. Then he marries Bathsheba. And they continue to walk this out. And the Lord was obviously displeased with what David had done. Obviously. But David was carrying this. It was wearing on his heart. God knew that. God knew that he was carrying something that he wasn't supposed to be carrying. So God sent somebody into David's life to help him get free from this stuff that he was carrying. So the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to tell David this story in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. So they keep being together, and in verse 13, David confessed to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replied, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin." This sin will not crush you. This sin will not kill you. This sin will not destroy you. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, your child will die. There was a repercussion for his actions. But there was a moment of not just admittance, but repentance. This moment, a change of mind that brings a change of direction, a turn from evil and towards God. David didn't just admit that he did something wrong. He repented for what he did. Admitting and confessing sin are not the same. Admitting is just acknowledging that you have it. We all have it. We were all born with a heart condition. Every single one of us. You know, Pastor John, who was on the video with Pastor Rick, which, speaking of the video, there will be resources in the days and weeks to come of websites for you to go to for resources in regards to voting. But Pastor John, a few years back, he had a stroke. And they didn't know why. They didn't know what happened. So he was seeing, you know, neurologists and cardiologists. And finally, a cardiologist discovered he had a hole in his heart. And Pastor John, being who Pastor John is, he went in and the cardiologist was like, so we discovered you have a small hole in your heart. And he was like, "No, I don't. Jesus fixed that years ago." And the cardiologist was like, "Yeah, well, he missed one." I love Pastor John. The quicker we discover that we have a heart issue, the quicker God can fix it. Confession, saying the same thing about our sin that God does. I don't want us to just admit it. I want us to confess and repent. Change our heart, change our mind, change our direction, and turn towards God. This is what David did. We see this in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. It's a record of what David went through in this episode, and it's also how he turned to God and asked for God to move in his life. And listen, I know you may be sitting here today and you may be thinking, "Man, I got a heart issue. I need to change some things." We're going to read all 17 verses of Psalm 51. I'm not going to preach about them. I'm not going to give you 3 points out of them. I'm not going to dig in. I just want the Word of God to speak. I want you to place yourself in the same position that David placed himself, at the feet of our Father in heaven. So I don't know if you need to bow your head, close your eyes, stand to your feet, whatever you need to do to place yourself in the presence of God as we read His Word. But God wants to do some spiritual heart surgery right now. Because each and every one of us should have a desire and an expectation to be defined as men and women after God's own heart. Psalm 51, starting in verses 1 and 2. Lord, have mercy on me. O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone I have sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say. And your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honestly from the womb, teaching me wisdom, even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice where I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Lord, we come before you right now, brokenhearted. And Lord, we ask for you. Back together. Lord, the areas that you see that need washed, wash them, God. And Lord, we're not talking about a gentle cycle, but clean them as they would be cleaning a dirty garment back in the ages when David was walking this earth. things from our lives so that we can bring honor and glory to your name in every area of our life. Lord, may we stay humble, stay forgiving, and stay faithful. Lord, may you have your way in these areas that we're placing before you. Lord, we pray, Psalm 139, that you would search each and every one of us, that you would know our heart, Lord, that you would test us, that you would know each and every one of our anxious thoughts, Lord, that you would point out anything in us that offends you. Lord, right now, that you would lead each and every one of us on the path of everlasting life. Lord, if there's any one of us in this room that does not have a day or time where we have received what was provided to us by what Jesus did on the cross, which is that everlasting life, that gift of eternity, may today be that day that we receive it. May today be the day that we repent of our past, receive the forgiveness of your cross, and call upon you as Lord. This room today, and you've never received that gift of eternity, we want to walk you through that. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're that person that hasn't received that gift of eternal life, just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. God, that's me. I've never received that gift. Anyone at all today? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I promised you that we were going to have some heart surgery today. And that was just pre-op, what we just did. You've all just been cleared for surgery. So why don't you stand to your feet with me? We have some individuals that are just like the prophet Nathan. And they've been praying for you all week. They're going to begin to make their way forward, and we would be doing a disjustice to what we believe God wanted to do this week if we didn't have people that have been praying and preparing and believing for what God wanted to do this week through this message. So we're going to have a time of prayer and worship right now. So throughout the whole message, you may have been thinking, man, I really do have a heart issue. I have 100% blockage, or I have 90% or 80%, whatever it may be. We have some people that are ready to pray. And you don't have to come up here and read your mail and say, listen, I have a Bathsheba living across the street from me. You don't have to do that. God knows. You can just say, I just need prayer for my heart to turn back to God. Or you could just say, listen, I need my heart needs healed. I've been going the opposite direction of God. Or you can get as detailed as you'd like. But I know there's some hearts that need to turn back to God today. So we're going to pray. And if you're not coming up here for prayer, we're going to worship. But I'm so thankful for what God's about to do in this time. So let's pray, church, or let's worship together for those that are receiving.